Nice vinyl behind you.
Thank you. Well, Big Sugar. Big Sugar Heated.
Big Sugar, the album is Heated.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they just released it a few months back, and so it came.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your first listen on Welcome to the Music.
Double album.
Double album.
Nice.
Let's take a look
Colored
at
vinyl.
this. Wow, look at that green. So for those people watching on YouTube, you can see it. If you want to know our YouTube channel, just go to welcometothemusic.com and you'll see all the channels. You can find us on green and what is that, orange?
Yep.
Burnt orange. That's
Well,
nice.
red kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice to have like touch it, you feel it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got weight, it's got stories.
It's art.
Yes.
Yeah, you're getting more than just zeros and ones on a digital playlist
Yes.
or digital app. You can touch it, you can feel it. You can hear it obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also behind me, that's actually on the turntable right now.
Oh, two turntables and a microphone.
Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine.
Renegades.
Look at you. You've been
So,
shopping?
this I actually received for my son for Christmas.
For Christmas.
He got me this for Christmas.
Okay.
We draw names for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he got me that for Christmas because he knew I didn't have it. And it's basically an entire cover album by that Rage Against the Machine did.
Oh wow. I'm gonna have to visit you sometime and borrow that.
Yep. So they did like Kick Out the Jams, MC5,
Wow.
Ghost of Tom Joad, Street Fighting Man by Rolling Stones, Maggie Farm, Renegades of Funk, which is probably the song everybody knows from this album, Rage, that Rage did.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Now, people are listening to this and going, Greg's family is so big that they have to draw names.
Well, I have 17 kids.
17 kids.
I don't have 17 kids.
How many wives?
How many what?
Wives. How many baby mamas?
I have
Whatever.
one wife. I have one wife.
You're insistent on the number of wives you have, but kids,
Exactly.
15, 16, 17, who's counting? Well, fantastic. That is good. I should get in on this family Christmas.
Hilson Diamond Feldman Family Christmas Draw.
What do I get? I get M&Ms, a bag of M&Ms from Cosmere. One Christmas I got an album by Yeezy, which I subsequently cashed that in.
You got an album from your son and you.
No, that was from Iman.
Oh.
I think she was playing a joke on me. She gave it to me and I threw it right back at her. I said, I don't want this. And it was his newer stuff. It wasn't like an old classic. It was like one of his newer albums. And I'm not interested. But anyways, yeah. So that's what the children get for this old man. Yeah.
Not rage. Oh well.
Not to know. It doesn't have to be. It could be anything. You know what I'm saying? It could be like, I would take a classic pop album. I'm fine with that. You know? But yeah, speaking of pop,
Yes.
how was your Super Bowl Sunday?
I thought Post Malone did an incredible job
Oh my God.
of
Oh,
that song.
why I'm I heard that, and again, he did a Nirvana cover session back in 2020 online, I think it was.
From his.
And I'm thinking, like, oh man, if this guy ever just says, I got enough money, I'm gonna do rock, or like yesterday, I'm gonna do singer-songwriter stuff. What a voice. Oh my goodness. What a voice.
Great, great rendition of
Yeah.
God Bless America.
And I don't know if you've ever heard any of his interviews. Like I've watched a couple of clips with him and Howard Stern. And he is like the most polite gentleman. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Like, just like, oh, it's fantastic, you know?
And in the halftime show,
Yeah.
well, I will say Kelly was really impressed. My wife was really impressed. My one wife was really impressed.
It was pretty good. I thought it was good. For what it was, it was good, you know? Yeah, it was, and then, yeah.
I don't, I'm not, I was telling somebody today at lunch, I didn't not like it,
Yeah.
but it doesn't like it, it like, okay.
Yeah, I thought, I mean,
And
for
I, you know, there seem to be mixed reviews on it from like listening to,
yeah.
on the radio and people talking about it. It was like some people absolutely loved it, which is
Yeah.
great. Good. And it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like I had anything against it. I just,
Yeah.
for me, it was like, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I've learned now.
That you're old?
No, not to be as much of a music snob as I've been in the past.
And I'm not saying that as a music style. Like again, I'm not going.
I'm not saying you
I
have been, I'm saying I won't go there. So, yeah.
personally to me, I'm not a big fan of the song "God Bless America." I'm not a big fan of that. Like, to me, it was more country than singer songwriter. But okay, yeah, I can go there, right? But so it's like, as a music snob, I don't necessarily like the rendition, if you will, but I was blown away by the rendition
By
of Post
him.
Malone
Yeah,
doing
absolutely.
God Bless America. You know what I mean? Like
I
that's
hear
like
you.
so a little snobby there, but yet I could like, I can still like it still blew me away.
Yeah. Now, did you watch the Grammys?
Well, second half of the Grammys.
I don't know where I don't know what the halftime show on the Grammys were, so I can't
Damn,
delineate.
I miss a hat. Came in just after the halftime show.
But that was a great show. Just a great show and just great music. I was like, okay, yeah, this has been fantastic. And I'm sure everyone has heard it by now and everyone has their own opinion, but just, Tracy Chapman just blew me away.
Did
That
anybody have a
song,
bad opinion of that performance? I didn't see it
no,
until afterwards, but
I don't think so. It was just, I was like mesmerized and it was, wow. Just fantastic. And even Joni Mitchell, at however old she is, and all the health challenges that she's been through, to do that song, and then right at the end, there's notes that she's not going to hit, but you can tell she's like aiming for that. And it was like, wow. That it was just phenomenal, just great music. So I don't think there was, yeah, there was one. There was one that I didn't. I said, I didn't need to have that. But they've got to make everybody as happy as possible on that. So, but I thought it was a
And
great
Jay-Z
show.
went full Kanye.
No. Okay, I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this now. I am a, I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie. I'm not, a, I'm, I, but I will tell you that if I was able to buy tickets to her Toronto concert later this year, maybe, or next year. I can't remember when it's coming. I would go to the concert because I want to. It's sort of, she has now reached that pinnacle of, she's not just a pop star, but she's like a global icon. Like when people were screaming for the Beatles or Elvis, she's like, she's hit that level.
So what you're saying for those listening on the audio podcast and not on YouTube, Kareem's lights just went out.
I'll be right back. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
Yeah. So what you're saying is,
yes,
you're sort of the opposite, where,
yeah,
you know, all the Swifty fans became NFL fans. You're an NFL fan and you've become a Swifty fan.
I'm not even an NFL fan. I'm a default NFL fan because Kazmir watches NFL.
Just kidding.
But at the Grammys,
yeah,
a number of things that she did was like, do you have to? We know how great you are. We acknowledge, yeah, we bow down, yeah, but to let everybody know how many Grammys you have.
And then you have a new album coming out.
And then to announce you've got a new album, watch for it. Like, yeah, I was like, that's kind of.
Yeah, I wasn't overly impressed with that.
You know, it's like, you know, you're not like, take the day off, relax, enjoy.
Yeah. And let me explain why I said Jay-Z went full Kanye. Okay. And again, I'm making a joke in the reference of Beyonce, yes, and that, yes, whole thing.
Yes.
But actually, but it, yes, was, it was more, it was more the way he snubbed somebody, if not more than someone.
Yeah.
Or some group of people,
yeah,
for their nominations, basically saying to them, you didn't deserve to be nominated. And it was just like, that's a dick move. Like, you're getting an award,
yeah,
by an organization you've just completely thrown, yeah, under the bus.
Yeah.
You're still willing to accept your award, and then, yeah, you trash talk some of the other musicians.
Yeah.
That are there. And I thought that was really shitty. I thought, I like, that's where I meant about the Kanye, not the Beyonce, although that was weird, but not, yeah, the Beyonce thing, but that was weird.
Yeah.
Odd is a better way to put that. That was a bit odd. Maybe not. Maybe it's not. But yeah, yeah, for him to trash talk other musicians, I'm like,
yeah,
stop.
You don't need to do that.
Like, humility. Have some fucking humility. Especially, and there are a lot of people that disagree with my view.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I recognize that.
And that's two old men talking about music.
One last one, another snub?
Yeah.
Before we start?
Yes.
The Junos?
Yeah.
And we can talk about this at another date, because I think this deserves some time.
Yeah.
Dallas Green's songwriting on the new album has gone to a whole other level. He has transcended.
Oh.
To, like, the new album is just almost perfection. It is, and it's so personal, and yet not nomination.
Interesting. Well, when did the album come out?
Last year. Just okay. like in maybe the fall, I think.
Maybe he didn't submit it for recognition. But anyways, talking about singer-songwriters, we have Waiting in the Green Room. Singer-songwriter, nominated for Traditional Album of the Year by the Canadian Folk Music Awards, Meredith Moon. Let's bring her in, Craig.
Hi, I'm Meredith Moon, and I'm happy to be on Welcome to the Music.
Awesome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Meredith, it's a pleasure having you join us. I just wanted to say congrats on the album Constellations. And
thank you.
The one thing I'd love to, you know, kick it off with is if you could share sort of some insights of, you know, your musical influences, your personal experiences that influenced, you know, your unique sound and you know, the album.
Um, So I guess my influences, since I was young, I've listened to a lot of folk music, singer songwriter music. But I'm one of those like Bob Dylan archivist nerds. So that is probably my main influence. And then Appalachian old time music, which I got into at probably about 15 or 16, sort of through the folk revival, and kind of learned about the connections between those songs and the trad songs that those people were playing, and kept going more and more back in history, like, you know, Bob Dylan covering Odetta and then Odetta doing all these trad tunes, and kind of went down this wormhole of old time music, which made me write songs, I guess, in that style. Or tried to, at least.
Excellent.
How does I don't know how old you, like, how old were you when, or really, like, what music were you listening to that informs you about this type of music? Because I'm just thinking, you know, in my teens or 20s, I'm listening to top 40 music. I'm listening to the local rock station. Where is Meredith Moon hanging out, and what are your influences that really drive you to investigate and, you know, check out these types of sounds and music?
I don't know. I wasn't really hanging out with, very many people at all as a teenager. But I was very into, old fashioned sort of things. Like, my favorite thing to do as a teenager was listen to Joni Mitchell and paint watercolors and just kind of be a nerd with no friends. And I'm very happy that I was, because it gave me this love of music, and that music in particular, where it felt like it was my best friend. So, so it was really, it was very formative for me. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I had parents who listened to that kind of music. So I wasn't, I wasn't really exposed to the top 40.
Sure. Speaking of Joni Mitchell, I don't know if you had a chance to watch her at the Grammys.
I saw a video of it afterward. Yeah.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
I think that everything Joni does is amazing, because I'm a huge fan, but yeah, she's she's honestly like this living, breathing, like, encyclopedia of, like, folk music. Like, she's just this, I don't know. Yeah. I love her, and I loved what she did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. You touched on, so we do a pre-show where we just riff for a few minutes before you join us, and we actually touched on a few things. One was, we touched on the Joni Mitchell, and then you mentioned, it's funny you mentioned about Dylan and covers, because I was just talking about, I had in the background Rage Against the Machine's Renegades, where they covered Maggie's Farm. So it's like, anyway, just come full circle.
I wanted to ask you this, Meredith. I don't know if this is part of your music or not, but I read somewhere that you, I don't know whether you loved it or you had to do it, but hitchhiking. Was that true? Did I read that correctly? That you used to love hitchhiking and just sort of discovering where the car would take you?
Yeah, I did. I used to enjoy that when I was more young and spry. I had my fun from Toronto to the Yukon to the East Coast and a few times, and that's kind of how we got around. Yeah.
Are you doing any hitchhiking these days?
I'm not. I do a lot of car camping. I have a pickup truck, and my husband and my dogs like to sleep in there. We just did it across. We went down to San Diego and back, Toronto to San Diego. Yeah, and just kind of, yeah, sleeping at truck stops and having the time of our lives.
That's amazing.
So,
nice.
Yeah, that's my version of getting close to 30s. You know, I don't hitchhike anymore, but I still sleep in my truck because I like to be comfortable. So, yeah.
Wow,
very like, cool. I know you know talk about going across Canada, but you've also toured extensively, you know, to a number of countries globally and that. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, in your travels within Canada or internationally or to other countries, you know, what cultural experiences and, you know, musical encounters have you found along that time that have had an impression on you?
Oh my gosh. I want to just say all of it, but probably Europe in 2019, and meeting all of these buskers along this strip in the old town in Limburg. And I was just walking around with my backpack and stopping to meet all of these folks. They were like playing lutes and like all of these instruments that like in Canada, it's very rare when somebody brings out sort of any Eastern European instruments or a lute. So it was really neat to see the buskers there didn't just play like guitars and fiddles and stuff, but they were playing these like incredible instruments that you don't really see in Canada very often. So that one was really cool. And I think like as far as influence goes, like this, I did a tour in Ireland this August, and that was like very interesting in the way of like folk music there is, it almost like all has like a trad kind of Irish sound to it. And it really made me want to incorporate more Celtic music into my music. And all of these like modern folk songs that people had written in like a very Celtic style. And it's really nice to see how different cultures, like their folk music is so universal, but like different cultural influences like will change the sound of modern folk music. And all of these songs that people are playing will sound like they're from that part of the world wherever you go.
That's really,
so it's fun to bring my music there when I can.
Nice.
That's great.
I thought you were going to say Wawa for a second.
Love Wawa, but yeah.
It's interesting because Sudbury tends to come up with people that Greg and I speak with. First time I've heard Wawa. Or maybe not the first time, but I haven't heard of Wawa like in forever. But is that a special place for you, or it just happens to be a place where you sometimes get stuck?
I mean, there's an old kind of traveler's legend about getting stuck in Wawa. I got stuck there once hitchhiking, and then I also I was going through driving in the middle of January to BC like 10 years ago and got stuck in a snowstorm there overnight. And the more time you spend there, the more you get to know the locals. And I actually have some of my best friends live in Wawa.
All right.
I don't know. It's a very Ontario town.
Yeah.
And I love Ontario, so
nice. Meredith, we have a segment on our program called Lost Venues. People usually have stories of places that they've played before. Sometimes it's the first place that they've ever played live, or it was their first gig. Some people got hilarious stories or horror stories. But it always ends up being a venue that, for one reason or another, does not exist. I'm wondering if you have such a story.
Actually, I think I do. I think I do. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Well, I'll give you two, like, not, they're not like horrific, but
sure.
They're Yeah, but there was this one venue called the Railway Club, I think, in Vancouver. It's since been closed. And they had this thing where, first of all, they doubled, this is in 2015, they double booked us. And then they were like, you can play. It was like, it's just one big room. And they, and there was like another band playing, and they're just like, you can play on this other stage in the other end of the room.
What?
And basically we were both playing at the same time. There wasn't any kind of wall between us, and they just made us play in the same room. Yeah. So
and how big of a room is this?
Kind of swap songs. It was fairly large. The bar was in the middle. It's pretty hectic. And they said, like, basically, like, you can set up in this corner, and, you know. So we just kind of played when we could, in between songs and whatnot. And anyway, so, and then the other horror story, I'm not going to name the venue, but so there's a venue in Canada somewhere, and basically every time that anyone that I know, like a lot of friends have played there, they get bed bugs every single time.
Oh no.
Just from putting their instrument cases on the floor. So so that has happened before. I didn't personally get them because I heard about the stories and I was like, okay, just don't touch anything, just play the show. And yeah.
Wear a full body suit.
I feel almost bad not saying where it is, but I know that they don't really function as a live venue anymore, so everybody's safe.
There you go.
There you go.
And since then,
still
you've been
a bar, but...
since then you've been sleeping in your car. That's,
yes,
that's why. There we go. Origin story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Meredith, I know you're gonna play a song for us. One thing I'd like to ask you about before we get to that is, love to know a little more around, you know, your creative process and your songwriting process.
So for me, I'm not somebody who can always write songs, and I think that like some of the best songwriters that we know of kind of, they have dry spells. And I know that a lot of friends in this line of work, also, it's easy for us to kind of punish ourselves when we feel like we can't write songs easily, or we're going through a dry spell. But something that I've learned to do, and something that's like pretty crucial to my writing process, is to be able to like juggle creative outlets. And so I'll just kind of like paint, or I make garden gnomes. Is my
yes.
Other creative hobby. So I like to kind of juggle creative hobbies until the songwriting comes back. So when you're like always want to be creating stuff, it's important to remind yourself that songwriting doesn't always come easily. And I like to try and keep a journal to kind of just keep the writing process going. And I have to have the music before I have the lyrics. I have to have some kind of riff that I can imagine a line going to. And then that's kind of how I write, I guess.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Tell us, Meredith, you know, what song are you going to play just now?
I was just going to play Constellations, because okay, it's the title track, and I actually haven't played it in a couple of months, so I would be delighted to play it.
Yeah, no, we'd be delighted to have you play it.
And just to see if I can remember how.
Yeah. And before you get started, or as you get your guitar set up there, the album Constellation is up for Traditional Album of the Year at this year's Canadian Folk Music Awards. So congrats on that. Our fingers
Thank
are crossed
you.
For you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Meredith Moon.
Thank you. Live from North Carolina. in a hotel room. Okay.
Stars will come to life in the night. Invasive memories like a blinding light. It weighs heavy on my heart. Stitched up wounds ripped apart. Winter's here again.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Thanks for having me on Welcome to the Music.
Thanks. So one of the questions I love to ask before we wrap things up is what are you listening to lately? What's in your earbuds, new or old, doesn't matter, that people should be checking out?
Oh my gosh. Well, I had a nice phone call with a gentleman in Charleston, West Virginia, because we have a show there next month, and I was talking to him 10 minutes before this interview about possibly renting some fiddles from him for the show in March. And he told me about his band called the Parachute Brigade. And so I'm actually about to listen to them as soon as I'm done with this interview. But other than that, I've been listening to a lot of Bob Dylan, because I do that a lot. But I've been listening to a lot of Rough and Rowdy Ways, which is his newest. Yeah. I saw him live like a couple months ago, and that
so
yeah.
Did I. So I was there at the Massey Hall show.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
it was a great show.
Yeah,
nice. Meredith, thank you so much for coming on. If people want to find out more about Meredith, you can check her out on meredithmoon.com and on Instagram, where she posts photos of amazing animals and the amazing places she visits. And you can find
and the gnomes.
And gnomes as well.
If you like gnomes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Like yeah, gnomes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Meredith Moon Music on Instagram, yeah. I think. Thank you so much, Meredith.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care. Bye.